Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning once again. You know, during this COVID experience, it's been an opportunity for many of us to learn something new or maybe to sharpen up a skill. I'd used some of my vacation time just to do that, and since I didn't travel anywhere, I ended up taking an online workshop that originally was supposed to take place over 3 or 4 days, but we took it online and it lasted over a week or so. And there was an exercise that we had to engage in, which we used the power of our imagination to write a letter to convince people to enroll in a project. And here's the basic scenario. I was trying to enroll 80 people to take a trip to the edges of the solar system, to a newly discovered planet by a group of astronomers. And that planet had a climate similar to Earth, and the government had partnered with a private space company, you know, Elon Musk, I believe, in order to transport the settlers to the new planet and start a brand new civilization. And the trip was going to take 30 years. And for most people, it was going to be one way, and everybody had to bring a skill to contribute to this new civilization. But once you signed up, there were no refunds. Once the ship took off, you definitely could not go back. It was going to cost you $200,000 to pay the cost. And you had exactly 10 days from the receipt of the letter to show up, because that was the window that you could avoid the solar rains. Now, of course, it seemed like a very far-fetched idea. But the more you think about it, it's no more miraculous than the so-called Big Bang that led to the creation of this universe, in which the world in which we inhabit was created. I think it was Einstein who said something to the effect that either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. You know, the Native Americans said there are three miracles. He said the first miracle is that anything that exists is a miracle. The second miracle is that living things exist. And the third miracle is that living things exist and they know they exist. Well, we are the living expressions of the Spirit of God. We know that we exist. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 34, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everything is alive, moving through this earth. It's living. The planet is alive. And with our self-awareness, we know that we are here to get in tune with this aliveness and get in tune with this rhythm of the universe, to allow this burst of creativity to continue to express itself through you and through me. And we may ask, how do we do that? Well, the truth of the matter is, I really don't know. I don't have a three-step formula. Oftentimes, these ideas just come through me from Spirit, but we already know it's already done. And whatever happens through the words that I speak that come over my tongue is just to carry out a particular vibration of frequency so that our heart remembers that nothing has ever been done that has not been done by the presence of God. I ask you if you understand that. If not, just continue to listen. Because today we're talking about the dance of the soundless music. Imagine for a moment a person is dancing to the music that is in her head or his head, just making it up as they go along. Perhaps they're in tune, perhaps they're not in tune. You know, at times it's kind of is using it for a calisthenic to keep them exercising. But then imagine two individuals dancing with each other without any audible music. They really can't hear it from the outside. In other words, they're dancing to the music that's within their own minds. They're doing it, trying to dance together, but they're really imposing the music that they're hearing on each other. The other will try to impose upon the other the music that they're hearing. And there won't be a real dance going on. There'll be some stumbling and bumbling, and they may be stepping on each other's toes, if you will. But imagine if they're two great dancers and they're hearing the same music and allowing the music to carry them where it will, and they're not doing the dancing. They're allowing the music to dance through them. The music is having its way with them, and they're allowing the music to be imposed upon them, and they are simply responding to the musical impulse of the universe. And the music is dancing. And what they're doing, they're hearing this music. And the music is simply taking over their life. And they're doing in harmony, in attune to one another. Our role, I think, is to hear that soundless music of the Spirit of the living God. And allow that soundless music of God, which is always broadcasting peace and assurance and love and joy and wisdom and loveliness and divine order, one mind, one power, one presence, one life, one love, one. The soundless music of infinite spirit. And it's always broadcasting that same music, and our role is to hear it and be in tune with that soundless something so that it dances and directs our life. And as we allow that, so that we're not imposing on life. Because when we're imposing on life, what's happening, the static of our individual minds is being expressed instead of being moved by the music of the spheres, instead of being moved by the presence of God. This is why we meditate and pray and perhaps sing and celebrate and laugh in order to eliminate the static in our awareness and hear and feel and sense that soundless music so that it may guide, lead, direct, uplift, and inspire and transform our lives. You know, during this time, there's a great deal of uncertainty. There's discord in our country, there's discord in our world. And I often imagine that just for a moment, maybe a moment throughout the day, 1 minute, if everybody became still, if everyone became quiet and simply listened to what was taking place in our universe and heard the music of the spheres, that may come to a feeling, if not in words, imagine how we would transform the moment. Because people would be dancing to the music that is from the spheres and not dancing to the music they're making up. They're not dancing to somebody else's music. You know, because oftentimes when we do that, we're believing that we're right and other people are wrong. But we know there's only one right, and that is the right of pure spirit that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We say it's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. I would say it's even omniactive. It's everywhere present is this power. And that is the love of God. And that's what we want to get in tune with. Because there's nothing going on in the world any place other than this presence. Anything else that appears to be going on is a thought form that we've made up, a perception. As I like to say, oftentimes we go to school of MSU, making stuff up, and it's not in tune with this presence. And so we have a perception, and that perception is transmuted into our experience, circumstance or situations. So what we are here to do as we get in tune with this spiritual nature is to release and let go of all the false perceptions about life and about the world. And as we are hearing that soundless music and we're dancing to it and getting in tune with it, we are lifting our vibration. It's increasing so that any misdirected thought can be undone by hearing the sacred music moving through our awareness. Yet what needs to happen, what needs to come to a complete stop is ourselves, where we pump still and begin to hear that soundless music so our dance is in tune and in rhythm with the vision of this universe for us. And that sacred ground, that holy word, so to speak, can lead to real change that takes place within us so that we're privileged to see the world that God has created. Because we're not seeing things as they are, but normally what we do, we see things as we are. We're seeing through our perceptions, from the music in our heads rather than the soundless music of the Spirit of God. And from that space, we have solutions to the challenges that we face, because they will reveal themselves. You know, the psalmist writes in the 23rd Psalm that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. In other words, it's saying in so many words, when God is our shepherd, when this spirit, when this force, when this presence is our first thought, we shall not want anything. We shall not lack anything. And that goodness and mercy will follow us all around. And we may ask, what does that mean? God is the all good, everywhere present in his fullness. That is the unchanging truth. And when our vibration is lifted to that, goodness follows us. Mercy becomes the quality of our life. And it requalifies our past perceptions and makes everything new. I remember when I went to go visit Accra, Ghana, in West Africa many years ago. And one of the searing memories I have from that journey was my visit to the slave castles. And we came across this, the door of no return. The door of no return was a portal through which enslaved people passed through after they were ripped from their families. They were lowered into small boats and they were packed like cattle into a larger ship that was sitting further out in the ocean. And to go through the door of no return meant a final goodbye to the freedom they knew. And it was a horrifying journey across the sea. Needless to say, for myself and many other people I were with at that time, and those who have also had that experience there, it was anguishing. Emotions ran the gamut of anger and despair and sadness, as well as feelings that I and others probably couldn't identify at that moment. It was as if we could feel the presence. It was as if we could hear the echoes and the screams of the spirits that those human beings who went through that door. And I believe it left everyone present, including myself, in stunned silence. You know, later that day, I, along with the rest of the group, went into the city of Accra to be part of an Akon ceremony. It's a naming ceremony. And it was facilitated by the chief elder of the village. You know, at the end of the ceremony, the elder gave me my Ghanaian name, Kwame Tumase. And Kwame means the day of the week that I was born. And Tumase is the name that honors the elders in that particular town. And when the ceremony was over, I was invited to the chief's palace. Now, it wasn't really like a palace that we think about it. It was like a nice house. But, you know, that was the way they called it. They called it the palace. And during my conversation with the elder, I shared my slave castle experience. I let him know that the emotions that we all went through and when we faced the door of no return. And the elder chief then gave me a perspective that caused me to view the experience in a new way. It really stopped me in my tracks. He explained that time does not exist. All of life happens simultaneously. And that means that a future life can influence a past life, as well as the other way around, because there is a constant interaction between all lives. Our life influences other beings, whether future or past. Consequently, he said, if we do something beneficial in this life, all people are affected. So the elder said to me that if you live your life with the highest positive energy, you will not only set in motion positive energy for future generations, you will renew and replenish past lives. When you send positive energy from the present, your ancestors are then freed up as well. I say that because there's an explanation that mercy requalifies our past perception. And the previous thought forms, things that we have thought before that have not been in alignment with wholeness, mercy embraces that. It realigns us and brings us back to wholeness. It brings us back to right hearing, right seeing. And lo and behold, our relationship to time has changed. Understand that time is really something we made up. It's a construct of thought. It does not exist in the mind of God because God is everywhere present. So there is no comparison or no other time, no other time zone. God is. God is now. Now is God. God is all that there is. So all there is goodness. Goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our life. And our relationship with time changes. And in that instant, there is a healing because that which we thought previously is dissolved into the mercy of God, and we are one with the presence. And the power and the life of God happens, and healings take place in our life. Now, the difficulty, of course, is this. People, most of us, have a tendency to look at life through childhood experiences. And sometimes we try to figure out the significance of them. And all of that is good. It's really good work that's important to do at times. But a lot of that keeps us focused on the past. And then the future becomes a demonstration of that which was past already. But understand that past is a fantasy. The future is a dream. The present is imagination. But now is God. The future is a fantasy. The future is a dream. The present is our imagination. But in the nowness of this moment is the fullness of God. God is the only thing that's going on. So when we lift our vibration, when we begin to listen to the music of the sphere, the danceless music, that presence, our relation to time changes. We're no longer looking at life through the lens of some past childhood experience. Instead, we're beginning to see life as it is, as we really are. And we may ask, who are we? Well, the Master Teachers gave us our identity clause when he said, we are the light of the world. We are the light that lights up every man, every woman in the world, every person in the world. We are that light. And sometimes we paraphrase Jesus the Christ when he said, when you see me, you see God. And don't call me good, it is the God within that is good. Sometimes we're the light. Sometimes we identify ourselves as the light bulb. Sometimes as a spiritual being. Sometimes as a being having a human incarnation. We are both. We are both the light and we're the light bulb. And we're here to up-level our wattage so that we can reveal more of what we are. But here's the difficulty. The difficulty is that the static on the line when we're only listening to the music in our head that we're making up and not attuning ourselves to the soundless music of spirit. It's like the Verizon guy used to say before he left to go to T-Mobile. He used to say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Spirit is speaking to us through the static that is going on in our own minds and asking, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No one is hearing. The communication is cut because there is static on the line. And static is fear. Static is doubt. Static is worry. Then the problems are compounded because decisions are made from the static consciousness rather than the consciousness of wholeness. But when we dance to the soundless music and are connected with the God presence, that static and sense of separation begins to dissolve and disintegrate. And we begin to understand that we pray from that space. And we discover we will never be able to be provoked to label someone or ourselves other than a child of God, regardless of how people want to demonize so-called others, which is very tempting, I have to tell you. It's not easy to resist demonizing another. But when we begin to understand there is only one, then those little negative thought forms that float through the media will just keep on floating on by. And we will say to them, that is a lie, a father of lies. We are here to build spiritual community on the planet, on this earth, beginning with our own heart. And to the degree we do that, we find ourselves dancing to the soundless music of spirit. We discover that it is sweet and it dances us. It dances us into that space that helps us see what would the world look like right now if really we were at peace. What would the world look like if people really shared resources? What would the world look like if people really loved and looked after each other and saw the truth of their being? What would the world look like? What would the world look like if people did not approach each other out of fear, but out of service and kindness and the consciousness of let me see how I can help? What would the world look like then? Right now, I want you to begin to see it. I want you to begin to see the world that God sees when we are at our highest and best, and allow ourselves to do that and to describe it, because as we describe it, we see it. We don't describe what we see. We see what we describe. As describing God's world, we can see it so that we can tune in with it as we lowly listen. We hear and dance to the soundless music of spirit. And as we do, goodness and mercy tracks us down wherever we are. Let us take that in and know that that is the truth. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
One mind.
One soul at a time.